You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Tell you what, Keith, if you can beat that, I'll give you a dollar. We need to make blacks great again and bring back music
like
that.
Well, you know, if it were not for Jews, whites and blacks can definitely get together. I have noticed that in my lifetime here in the American South. It's that intrusive influence.
Do you like music like that? Because I'll tell you right now, I do.
Yeah, it's great music.
And that's the song we sing.
And we all get along with black people in our private lives. The problem is Jews picking the scab off of racial incidents like they're doing with George Floyd's death. They always do it. They're the cause of the discord. They like to set two groups against one another while they sit back and watch the show.
I don't know if I've asked you within the last hour, but is the world better now, or was it better when the Marvelettes were cranking out hits?
Definitely back when the Marvelettes were cranking out hits.
Well, in any event, that's a song we sing every quarterly fundraising drive. Mr. Postman, do you have a letter for me?
That's James' eternal question.
As our second quarter fundraising drive here for TPC is now well underway, and in fact, we have reached the halfway point of that second quarter fundraising drive. So many of you have already responded, but we need so many more of you too in order to keep the wheels on the wagon here. And if you've not yet responded, please do. It's a pretty seminal occasion here. It's the middle of the year. It's 2020. We're in the middle of civilizational turmoil. I'm turning 40. We got a bun in the oven. I mean, it is a big time here for the Edwards.
If it were not for the U.S. Postal Service, we couldn't depend on getting any money from anybody.
That's the only way it gets delivered anymore.
Yeah, so. PayPal certainly isn't doing it.
That's right. I think we were the first to be banished from PayPal way before all the others, way back in about 2006. So anyway, yeah, we know all about that. That's for sure. But you can still send it in via the USPS. And please, Mr. Postman, bring us a letter from our listening audience. And we've got, you know, it's the 13th of the month, and I don't think we've mentioned it on the air yet. Let me see what we're offering this month. We have for you, those who donate $100 or more before June the 30th, you're going to receive a copy of Defending Dixie. This is the special expanded 112-page masterpiece edition of the Barnes Review that's exclusively dedicated to Southern topics, both past and present. Now, we had the editor of the Barnes Review, Paul Angel, on this show back in April for our annual Confederate History Month coverage. That particular issue, Defending Dixie, is the primary incentive for our donors of $100 or more. Keith, you love that.
Well, I can
copy.
Tell you this. I have no hesitance whatsoever in recommending and validating the Barnes Review as a great source of so-called revisionist history. This is the real history. If you want the real history on the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Franco-Prussian War, anything in between the interwar years, that's the go-to place. This is the real McCoy. This is not a bunch of posers. This is real scholars diving deeply into issues and getting that pearl of truth out of it for you that we all seek so much. So the Barnes Review is solid gold, folks, and this is a great, great incentive. If you want to know all about the real history of the Civil War, get your hands on this Defending Dixie edition or version published by the Barnes Review.
And it is not something that is widely in availability. I mean, this is something that came out a couple of years ago, but it is a timeless
Everybody needs
journal.
To
it's evergreen. And
I hope what it will do is encourage people to subscribe to the Barnes Review, because the Barnes Review, if there is ever history worth reading, history worth teaching your children in the homeschooling environment, it's going to be from the Barnes Review.
Well, and you can get that for a contribution of $100 or more. Send it in, and we will get you fulfilled, and we will be also helping. You know, that's what we like to do. People helping people, friends helping friends. We'll help our friends at the Barnes Review, and, of course, we need your help to stay on the air. I want to say just a couple of quick words. David Duke is going to be on as our next guest in the next segment, and he will take us all the way to the wall tonight. I had a steak dinner with David Duke a couple of nights ago, and over the course of that dinner, we solved all the world's problems. The only problem is taking that from theory to practice. But it was one dinner, and we took care of it all. And he'll be with us in the next segment, and he's a good friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine. And we're going to be talking to him just in minutes. But another friend, let's remember again, Hutton Gibson, the father of Mel Gibson, who passed away just a couple of weeks ago at the age of 101.
102, according to Mark.
Mark said 102. I think it was 101. I'm almost certain it was 101. But I have a book, as I'm holding it in my hand, inscribed to James, In Pursuit of the Happiness We Once Had, signed Hutton Gibson. And he sent a whole box of these books in a few years ago. The Enemy Is Still Here. And he signed them for the TPC listening audience, and we used them as a fundraising incentive at that time. And he called TPC his home away from home when he appeared on this show. On one of the occasions he appeared on this show, because he appeared multiple times, on one of the occasions, though, it got widespread publicity. Entertainment Tonight, TMZ, you name it. All the Hollywood tabloids were talking about Hutton Gibson appearing on The Political Cesspool, and he never backed down. In fact, he went on the offensive and defended us, and I had numerous conversations with this man over the phone. He was a straight shooter. He was a scholar. He was a good man, and men like that are in too few in supply.
Well, Hutton Gibson is everything that TMZ is not. He has substance. He has gravitas. They don't.
Well, in any event, that he passed at any age, 101, he got his money's worth. You can't deny that. But in any event, I sent him a Christmas card back last December. We stayed in touch until the very end. I did not know he had passed until, though, today, when I saw that retweeted at Mark Weber's Twitter account. He died a couple of weeks ago. And I did not know that, and that saddens me. He was a good man. He was a smart man. He was a courageous man. He never backed down. We need more men like that.
That's right. And like Mark said, they're becoming fewer and further between.
Actually, Mark Weber had made mention of the fact in the last hour that he had had dinner with Hutton Gibson. I was able to introduce Hutton Gibson to Kevin McDonald, who also had the opportunity to break bread with the patriarch of the Gibson family, and Hutton Gibson.
And if you have any doubt about the Jews being in charge of Hollywood, just think about what happened to Mel Gibson's career, Charlton Heston's career, John Voight's career, when it came known that they were realists on the question of Jewish power in England.
In any event, rest in peace, Hutton Gibson. We will be reunited one day in the kingdom of heaven, and I look forward to seeing you there. We'll be right back with David Duke.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000. 672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I had the opportunity on Friday morning to appear on David Duke's radio program on the Rents Radio Network, along with the British activist Mark Collett, and we had a great and very powerful one-hour conversation. One of the things that I thought was very profound that Mark, and truthful and honest, that Mark Collett had brought up was that if, God forbid, they are able to get rid of all of the white people in the world, you will not see a heaven on earth utopia. They will begin to fight one another as they have always done, even in the void of whites. And then we see in the case of Haiti, they were able to murder every man, woman, and child, every white man, woman, and child.
And they converted the most prosperous colony in the New World to the worst, most poverty-stricken place in the Western Hemisphere.
Well, that's right. And after they were able to eradicate them, do we see peace and prosperity in Haiti? No. As Mark Collett put it, they bake mud. They eat dirt cookies. That's what they've been reduced to without the amenities that come from first world living. And, of course, first world nations can only be provided by first world people. And in any event, it was a great show. I encourage you to check it out. It was the Friday broadcast of the David Duke Show. The night before that, we had the opportunity to break bread with David himself, had a very good steak dinner, and he is our guest for the remainder of the show tonight, the former representative from the state of Louisiana, Dr. David Duke. David, great to have you. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I had really great meeting here with the League of the South in Harrison, Arkansas, with Tim Venable. It was a very good meeting and great people and very inspired meeting. They've been organizing. They're working very hard to protect white people, white businesses, white churches. And it's really kind of an amazing thing. The Black Lives Matter has even struck small towns like Harrison, Arkansas. And it was only the fact that there were people out there who were ready to stand up and defend their institutions their banks, their shopping malls, their stores, their churches, that there wasn't any violence there. And they'll have to do a lot to direct these small southern towns, like the beautiful town of Harrison, Arkansas. They're going to have to do a lot here because the people are so organized, and they're not guilt-stricken white people. They understand the reality of what's going on, and they understand here very clearly, that it's not black people who are being massively killed and or raped or murdered or assaulted or robbed, carjacked. I mean, it's incredible. And a perfect example of that is we can look at the crime, and we talked about this on my show, of course, on Friday. The crime victimization stats, this is from the federal government of the United States, U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs. By the way, the Department of Justice, where most of these stats were accumulated, and over the last few years they show the same thing every year, is that massive, when they look at cross-race crimes, in other words, crimes by an offender of one race against another race, or an offender of one race against their own race, the stats and the facts are just devastating. And we're not talking about a poll here. We're not talking about a model like the COVID models. We're really talking about realities from reports from police departments of arrests for crimes. So they have a category in the Uniform Crime Reports, and this is done by the Bureau of Justice, and it's also done, and this is 2018, so it's very recent, right? And it shows you the number of white people who are hurt by black people, and the number is just absolutely staggering. It's just absolutely staggering. So black-on-white crime, and we're talking, again, about rape, robbery, assault, murder, any sort of violent crime incidents in 2018. So the number of white people harmed, I mean, really hurt. We're talking about people their brains bashed in or are raped or are hurt dramatically, organ damage, mental brains that don't even function anymore, livers that have to be either a transplant has to take place or a kidney or dialysis because they're damaged by beatings and the other things that go on or the stabbings or the other incidents. And this is a staggering number, folks, but it's 547,948. And remember that number. Now you can share it to your friends and they start talking about how blacks are being hurt by white people in America by hate and violence. And, it's again 547,948. And interestingly enough, folks, the white on black violence, and by the way, a lot of that's even defensive postures against them, by the way, is 59,778. It's about 10 times. 10 times. It's just shocking. More violent crimes. I mean, that's a huge number. And by the way, the great majority of these white victims are completely innocent people. They're not criminals who are shot by the police in the process of a gun crime, robbing a bank or robbing a store or kidnapping somebody or, you know, raping somebody. We're talking about people, including people in the 80s, 90s even, and that's hard to think about, but it happens. There's a lot of home invasions of white people. We're talking about school kids attacked. We're talking about a tremendous toll of innocent people by violent criminals. And the black, when you talk about black violence on black violence, and you know a great deal of black violence is against blacks who they live around. It's generally speaking when there's black quote violence or violence that's involving a white person against a black, it's usually in defense of themselves or their families from the black criminals. The interesting thing is that the League of the South is really a great organization. It's led by a very courageous man. I've spent the last 2 days with them. I know him very well. I've spoken at many meetings, and that is and you know him very well too, James, the fantastic, fantastic Dr. Michael Hill, who's been a university teacher, He has a doctorate in history. He's written his historical books, and he really knows the score. And he's talking about so much courage that we're going to have in this future, because if it's not clear to white people yet in this country that they plan to completely destroy us, this is exactly what's going on. They're ethnically cleansing us in our own country. They're making us a minority in our own land. They want to outnumber us and outvote us. We have a media. It's not hate and racism against black people that's going on in the media. The media is creating tremendous hatred against white people, and it's stirring up crimes against white people. The last thing I want to say on that, and I want to get your thoughts, and we can discuss this all you want tonight because it's such an important show. I want to make something really clear. Of course, all Americans, just about who watch TV at all, news or even entertainment shows, you've seen the tape, the gut-wrenching tape of the what happened to Floyd. He died with the policeman, you know, holding him down with his foot. And, you know, that's a gut-wrenching thing. And it's been shown thousands of times on media. It's amazing. Most people who watch the news have seen it 20 times. The truth is that even in police, where people die under police arrest, unarmed or armed, overwhelmingly it is white people who are killed by police, not black people who are killed by police. And even black police kill black people much more than white people do the same thing. I'm sorry to go so long. We're almost to the break, but we'll get into this, I'm sure.
Well, David, it's almost as if you've been on the radio before or even host your own show. You know what happens when the music starts. It's time to take a quick break, but we're back. Yeah, you're right. Dr. Michael Hill, an incredible personal friend, but also a great hero for our people, as are you, my friend, Dr. David Duke, the former representative from the state of Louisiana, the great southern state of Louisiana. We'll be back with him right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Less than a day after a black man was killed by an Atlanta officer in the struggle following a field sobriety test, the city's police chief has resigned. The event was caught on video.
Oh!
Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms accepted Erica Shields' resignation.
Chief Shields has offered to immediately step aside as police chief so that the city may move forward with urgency in rebuilding the trust so desperately needed throughout our community.
According to officials, police had been called to a Wendy's restaurant complaint that a man was sleeping in a car blocking the drive-through lane as customers were waiting in line. The victim was identified as 27-year-old Richard Brooks. They say the struggle was over a police taser. The mayor also wants one of the officers fired. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
The NFL is naming Juneteenth as an official holiday. In USA's John Hunt has details.
National Football League Commissioner Roger Goodell said Juneteenth will be recognized as a league holiday and ordered the closing of the league office. In the memo, Goodell said he wants staff to use June 19th as a day to reflect on our past, but more importantly, consider how each one of us can continue to show up and band together and work toward a better future. Juneteenth celebrated the official end of slavery in the U.S. after the Civil War ended in 1865, despite the freedom of the slaves via the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. Goodell said the historic event weighs even more heavily today in the current climate. Other companies like Twitter, Square, and Nike also announced plans this week to make Juneteenth a new holiday.
President Trump says he will cancel his rally on June 19th in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to honor Juneteenth. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
A quick answer to our good friend Pam in Virginia. Yes, Pam, we're going to send Dennis all of the incentive gifts. Don't you worry about that. If we don't deliver them to you in person, we're going to mail them to you. We love you and Dennis. Sam said if you send in $1,000, you'll get a kiss from Keith. But no, listen, we love you, Pam and Dennis, and we're going to send you everything, and we look forward to seeing you very, very soon. But back to Dr. Duke, former representative from the state of Louisiana. We were talking, Keith, with Mark Weber in the last hour about how the relationships between blacks and whites could be much better if it were not for something. And what is that something? David and I were actually talking about this on Thursday night as we drove home in my car. If we controlled the media, race relations would be much better. What's missing, Keith? What's the secret ingredient?
Well, the secret yeast that makes the dough rise in every left-wing movement is Jewish power and influence. As I've said many times before, in any left-wing movement, the foot soldiers might be black, brown, yellow, homosexuals, women, you name it, but the generals are always from one group. They're always Jewish. Do you agree with that, David, or not?
Well, absolutely. In fact, the phenomena of communism, you probably read my book already, The Secret Behind Communism. And I
also on the bookshelf here.
And right. Communism, of course, is a Jewish movement. You know, Marx and Engels were not Southern Baptists or Roman Catholics.
Well, they might have been Southern Baptists now. But anyway, David, back to you.
And the New York Times is a Jewish publication, which is the vanguard paper of the destruction, really, of European Americans who purposely promote these immigration policies to make us a minority, outnumbered and outvoted in our country. They also are the vanguard of making black people hate white people by telling these lies. And like the lies are that white people are shooting down black people, that are oppressing black people, that this is a institutional racism that rules the country. When the truth is the institutional racism is by organizations such as the New York Times, which is run by the way, 8 Zionist Jews who support Jewish organizations that fight for the interests specifically of the Jewish ethnicity, the Jewish race. And the state of Israel, which, by the way, has immigration policies that limit immigration to their own genome, their own genetics, their own genealogy. They also have segregated settlements on land they steal from the Palestinians. They ethnically cleanse the people of that land in the last 30, 40 years. We're not talking about some historical thing. We're talking about morality. And this is the great misnomer. And ironically, they tell us, oh, they're against hatred. They're against people who are violent. They're against people who spout, quote, hate speech. And yet the New York Times and all the major networks, which are all Jewish, ABC, CBS, NBC, I can give you their names. If we had the time, I could lay it out for everybody. CNN, they massively are trying to create hate propaganda, such as the idea that blacks are being shot down and killed by white people. The actual facts are that far, far, far more white people are killed by black criminals. And in terms of even police officers, in this year, we've had 19 white people shot to death by police officers who were white, and we've had 9 blacks. And that's in spite of the fact that blacks are committing an absolute vast majority of the kinds of crimes that elicited police response, like violent murder, rape, assault, gun crimes, where they're robbing a store or they're robbing a whatever and are invading a home or carjacking some person. So,
David, hang on right there. I got to say this, and pardon the interruption, but you might not even be aware of this because I know you're up in Northwest Arkansas right now with Dr. Hill and some of the great men of the League of the South, and you're doing this retreat and this team-building organization. But this just happened last night in the state of Mississippi. We've been talking about it tonight. A 77-year-old sheriff's deputy by the name of James Blair, 77-year-old white man. He looks like he could have been your father or my grandfather. He looks like the salt of the earth, a God-fearing, tax-paying, law-abiding man.
Who went back to work, by the way, because he is supporting his grandchildren.
That's
his,
right. The parents,
his parents, the parents of these children died, and they were the children of this officer. So he went back to work to support them.
That's right. And last night in Mississippi, he died. Have you heard this story? He died. He was shot dead by a black felon.
Shot him in the head while he was in the police car.
While he was being transported to another institution, he was shot dead, 77-year-old, the exact inverted picture of what happened in Minneapolis.
And the silence is deafening.
It's absolutely unbelievable. One of the examples we talked about on my show, and this is really important for your people to listen to for a second here. You know, they make out this guy Floyd to be a hero, a great role model for young blacks. This guy has been, he's had a lifetime of crime.
The gentle giant.
Drug dealing. When he died, he was on fentanyl, he was on a drug, and he was resisting arrest, and he was being violent, and he was drug crazed, in fact, fentanyl and methamphetamine, right? And so we don't know. The courts will decide, and we'll look at this situation if the police officer did right or by the book, but it looks like he died from basically the drugs that he took. And physical action in regard to that, the same way that any police officer has to often use physical restraint on anyone who's breaking the law. People, a police officer
and resisting arrest,
physical restraint on someone and use their gun. But anyway, there were two elderly people, 86 and 85 years old, man and his wife, long married, wonderful people. The guy was a veteran, fought for the country. He absolutely, you know, has been a great citizen, law-abiding, decent, wonderful, loved children, grandchildren. They go to visit their son's grave at a veteran's cemetery. It's where his son is buried, and he served in the military. And they go to the grave, and they do this every day. A black guy comes up because of the propaganda and the hate propaganda by the media that white people are shooting down black people, like what happened in Georgia, you know, the jogger case. He goes to the cemetery. And he shoots them both, one through the head and then one through, I think, the heart or whatever. Two elderly people. I mean, they could be your father. They could be your mother, folks. They could be brother or sister, you know. And it's just unbelievable to think about it. And they were, you know, but you don't even know their name. Their name was Paul and Lydia Marino. You don't know their name. You don't hear from their children. You don't see their children crying and their grandchildren crying over the loss of this wonderful couple who did nothing other than being white. He admits that he did this because of hate for whites, and he did it because he was inspired to this crime and this hatred by the media that's telling the lie that white people are shooting down black people. Well, the truth is, he's a perfect example of that lie. Even when a black guy shoots down white people, you don't hear about it, and there's nothing in the media. This is the most disgusting, horrific situation, and it's going to cause the death of many more white people, like the one you talked about today in Mississippi and so many others, and other black police officers as well. That's a fact.
Well, David, you and I and James have all grown up in the South, and my observation is this. I'm sure every one of us gets along very well in day-to-day communications and conversations with black people. We would have no problem at all with black people, but for Jewish power and influence, I would maintain, or at least very little.
Of course. But everything's turned upside down, isn't it, my friend? I mean, you look at what's going on here. It's not white people doing hate speech against blacks. It's hate speech by the media inciting hatred, violence, murder, crime against white people. And it's also not helping black people. And the truth is that most blacks that have died are by other blacks, vastly numbered. They commit terrible crimes in the black community. They commit rape. They commit murder. They commit assault. They do drug dealing, try to get black kids on this stuff. It's almost the entirety of the murders in the black community, right? And the police officers, white and black, by the way, they risk their lives going into black communities to try to protect innocent and law-abiding black people from violent black criminals. And, of course, white people, too, because over half of the armed robberies in this country, and a lot of those turn very violent and deadly, too, are committed by blacks against white people. It's really amazing. And that's just from 13% of the population. Same thing with the murder rate. They commit a majority of the murders.
And that's always been the way it has been, David. But, this racial conflict is being fueled by Jewish power and influence.
And why are they doing this? You know what it is? It's to do two things. One is to make white people hate themselves and feel like they're guilty, to keep white people from organizing for their own defense and their own well-being and their own future, their children. And it's also to weaponize black people like a proletariat, so to speak, in the communist revolution, against the white establishment. They're also doing this, in my opinion, to create both great turmoil in the country in order to try to get people to say, I'm not going to vote for Trump because I want peace, and maybe the Democrats can be peace, but Trump's too divisive, and that's the message. And
I think they're trying to provoke violence by the police, just like they did in the Civil Rights Movement, and they're going to put that at Trump's feet.
Well, we'll see if we can get to the bottom of it in our next segment, our final segment of the night. Great show tonight with Mark Weber and David Dukes.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we round out tonight's broadcast with my longtime friend, David Duke. What a show tonight between Mark Weber and David Duke. We lamented the passing of the 77-year-old sheriff's deputy in Mississippi gunned down.
Simpson County, Mississippi, McGee, Mississippi, the county seat.
What was that, David? This occurred last night, just last night. 77 years old, still working as a sheriff's deputy to support his grandchildren because their mother had passed away, and he was gunned down while transporting a black felon, and nobody will remember his name.
Basically, it happened near the same time that I was giving a talk here in Harrison, Arkansas, to the really fine Tim Venable and the great, really great people, how there is really a war being brewed in this country, and the media is inciting it. And this was happening at the same time or near the same time as my talk. That's
right. And he was gunned down, David, and it was the exact 180 inverted image of what they say happened in Minnesota. This was a black felon gunning down a 77-year-old. He looked like he could have been my grandfather, your father. I mean, he looked like the salt of the earth of the South. Go to my Twitter account at James Edwards TPC. You'll see his picture, and it's the kind of guy who built this country. It's the kind of guy who's on the back of the guys like that.
And the question, James, is this: the question is this, James, that what is happening here? David was absolutely right. They're trying to provoke some type of warfare, some type of combat. I keep going back, David, to the civil rights movement. And Hosea Williams, who said at Selma, thank God for Bull Connor, because if the whites don't attack us, we lose. This is what they're trying to do before the November election, I think. What's your idea?
Well, they are. They're trying to do it. And the same thing is true about the COVID hoax. It is a virus. It is a flu. And it's killed people like flus have always killed people. But this was an attempt to make us be submissive, to make us not go to church, to violate our First and Second Amendment Constitution of the United States. That's what this is all about. I mean, and by the way, if anybody doesn't understand that this government right now, the government that's ruling over this country, the government's running our FBI, that's running our police department, and that's national, and I'm not talking about every individual police officer because we love the individual police officer who's defending us from this tide. And we've got to be ready. We need to organize. So, and by the way, the League of the South is a nonviolent organization. They're fighting for Southern principles, Southern freedom, and the safety of the Southern people. But they understand that the left is trying to disband the police. They're trying to take over. And there's no law enforcement. If law-abiding citizens don't get organized, so if the police are disbanded, which is certainly on the horizon, it's insanity. That's not illegal to do. It's certainly legal by the constitutional right. Even militias are talking about in the Constitution of the United States, the right of militias to keep and bear arms. They're a legal organization. They're certainly nonviolent. And they stood up and they defended some of the positions, some of the places here that were under threat by the Black Lives Matter.
David, this actually segues perfectly into what I wanted to ask you about. We made brief reference of it with Mark Weber in the previous hour, but you're talking about law-abiding organizations like the League of the South versus I don't think it's an exaggeration to call them terrorist organizations that are completely coddled by the controlled media, like the terrorist organization that has taken hold of a 6-square-block city center of Seattle, Washington, the so-called Republic of Chaz, the Capitol Hill autonomous zone. I mean, why has Donald Trump not let loose the force of the American military to quell this insurrection there in Seattle?
Well, he should, because all of this is certainly partly wrapped in the fact they want to get Donald Trump out. They want to take over the entire Senate and the House of this country. They want to criminalize any European-American that wants a safe family, a safe neighborhood, a safe school for their kids. They want to criminalize any white person that loves their children, that wants the future for the country. I want to close with that, you know, with that last story again, and it's so important to state. You know, we had during the COVID scare and this fear-mongering of the media, they told people that they literally could not go into a hospital and visit mothers and fathers who were dying on their deathbed. who wanted to see their children and their grandchildren. They told people you couldn't go to the hospital for your brother or sister, or even husband or wife. People couldn't get married. It's really ridiculous to have a ceremony, and people couldn't even have a funeral. But until we had this black thug who died, and that's what he was. He was certainly not a role model. And then they allowed all these massive meetings. Half of them didn't even have masks on, right? Massive meetings with the so-called virus going on. And they said, well, we should do that. They literally said that this is such an important issue that we should have these mass meetings. The hypocrisy is amazing. You know, it's only an evil state. It's only an evil establishment that would not allow an individual to see their loving wife of 40 or 50 years and wish them well and tell them how much they love them before they died, or vice versa, or with kids and parents, or parents and their own children. This is insane. This is evil. There's no other way to put it. We have an evil society. In fact, we had most of the deaths from the COVID virus around the world have been elderly, have been people in nursing homes, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, right? And we had the establishment in many places force these nursing homes to take in COVID-19 positive patients when these are the people who die from the disease. That we live in a 1984 style, disgusting dystopian society, and it's time we have to stand up now. If I'm telling the people listening, if you don't stand up and support the work of the political cesspool, if you don't support the League of the South, if you don't support my work at davidduke.com, if you don't support the work of those people who are trying to defend our heritage, our culture, our future, our freedom, then shame on you, because you're going to
get... And like you said, David, like you said, this is evil, and who is behind the evil again? The people need to hear this.
Well, I'll tell you, davidduke.com.
Jewish power and influence.
Well, we've been pulling books off the shelf all night, too. We just learned that Mel Gibson's father, Hutton Gibson, who was certainly a defender of the truth, passed away at the age of 101 just last month. Yeah, he
I'm
called TPC this radio.
I knew Hutton Gibson like about everybody else over this movement of my almost 58 years of activism. I knew a lot of these guys, and he was a great man. And I think the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree when it comes to Mel Gibson. Anyway, I want to say again a shout out to Tim, the fantastic organizer of the League of the South in Harrison, and all the good people that I've met. They're really wonderful people. And, of course, the great Dr. Michael Hill. And you, James, you're doing such a great job. Love you and your family so much. Please support the work of the cesspool. Please support me and our work. I've been a voice for this for years. And if we don't start to organize, it's not about violence right now. It's winning the hearts of our people. We can't win a revolution to defend ourselves and our future and our children, our very existence in this country, unless we disabuse, unless we reveal and expose the hatred, the lies, and the violence that the political establishment and the media establishment is wreaking against this country. And that's hurting not only white people, it's hurting black people, it's hurting all people who call themselves Americans. It's hurting all people across the world. And the funny thing is, and the shocking thing is, that this is run by the most racist supremacist people on the planet, and that's the Zionist supremacists. Run our media, run our government, and get us in all these wars, and are destroying everything of value in this country and our people. The most important.
Remember this. Let me make this last comment. Remember this, everybody. Sure. Black people, brown people, homosexuals, women, all these so-called beneficiary groups of left-wing movements are nothing more than pawns. And you can't win the chess game capturing all the pawns. You got to get the king, and the king is Jewish power and influence.
Right. I guarantee if we had a fair media, black people would be, they'd love white people. They'd be thankful because we'd be the ones to stop them from having all this crime, of themselves, their kids being shot down on the steps. I mean, white people have $22 trillion just in the war on poverty. This is white people's 98% of the taxes really come from white people in this country, right? And it's just
absolutely
amazing that everything turned around. Listen, I love y'all. Thank y'all for the work. Please, folks, go to davidduke.com. I'm on the air on the Rinse Radio Network. go to davidduke.com. You can pick up our show and support our work. I really appreciate it.
Well, and let me give a hearty endorsement to that as well, davidduke.com. David, we love you. We'll talk to you again soon. I mean, maybe even as soon as tomorrow night. I'll give you a call. But davidduke.com, that's where you need to go. And we were there on Friday on his show. He's here tonight on Saturday night. Was that just yesterday? Was that just yesterday? It seems too time is a vacuum.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Well, David told me time expands as much as you need it to. But anyway, it's got to expand more. I'm going to be 40 next month, next week. David, we love you. DavidDuke.com for Keith. I'm James. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Good night.